Okay, let's open up the scriptures. Let's see what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 3. Great testimonies there of people relying on God. And that's the point of the testimony, is to testify of what God has done in our lives, what God's done for us in our lives. So the title of this talk is Trusting God. Revelation chapter 3, this is the prophecies of the seven churches, which are also correlated to ages. And the last one is known as the Laodicean church, and it's understood that today we live in what's known as the Laodicean age. And we'll just read that. Revelation chapter 3, we'll start in verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And this is repeated a few times in this period of prophecy here. And it's important. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So we have an ear that's in tune with what God wants us to hear. And when you hear it, you understand it, and it sinks in. So the Lord's saying here, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. I would prefer that you were cold or hot than lukewarm. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see truly that spiritual thing. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. It's something we all need to remember. The Lord loves us, and as a result, he rebukes us and chastens us when it's needed. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, change your ways. Repentance is a continual thing. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Laodicean age, which is what we're in, especially here in Australia, like we have riches. You know, I realise here in Australia, like there's a direct correlation between working, earning money, and getting stuff. You know, it's pretty basic here. We're in this position where if you work more, you get more money, you get more stuff. You know, you work less, you get less money, you don't get as much stuff. And I've seen many people fall away, stop following the things of the Lord because in their mind they're thinking, oh, right, okay, you know, I could get a car, a boat, a house, whatever flows on if they work more. And it takes them away from meetings and their eyes are taken off God. And so that's why it says here that, you know, you think you're rich and you're increased of goods, but you actually have nothing. You know, because you don't have riches that are saved up in heaven, spiritual riches. You don't realize that these riches you have here on earth are just going to go, you know, and you don't realize that this is not actually your home. Your home is in heaven with God. And so your focus is all awry. And it says there in verse 8, and I counsel thee to buy of me, of God, gold that's tried with fire. And what is it that's tried by fire? It's our... We are tried like gold is refined when we go through trials. And we go through trials, we are refined, our character's refined, we grow stronger as a result of trials and tribulations. And that is the refining that God's referring to here. Buy of him spiritual gold that's tried with fire, which is as we grow. That we may then be rich, we may understand where our riches truly do lie. And he goes, white raiment, you know, that's our cloak of righteousness, that we're pure before God. And so what the Lord's saying here to the Laodiceans, the church of the Laodiceans, is that you're not relying on me. You're not trusting in me. You're trusting in uncertain riches, riches that can just go like that. You know, they can just evaporate. And so God wants his children to trust him and not what you see with your carnal eyes or hear with your carnal ears or understand with your carnal mind. Over to Matthew chapter 6. It's been a while since I've read this, but it's just a great section of the scripture. Matthew chapter 6. To put things into perspective. And it starts, you know, you start to see results when you trust God. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. That's what he's saying to the Laodiceans. Stop serving this other master, serve me. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So if you serve God, you hate mammon. If you serve mammon, you hate God. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? So it's another realization that he's trying to tell these Laodiceans, don't you get it? There's more to life. There's more to life than these riches that you see. There's more to it. You know, as it says there, is not life more than food, and the body more than raiment? It's about serving God and letting and trusting him. That's what it's all about. Being raised up to meet him in the air, to walk into our spiritual land of Canaan. 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The beauty of the lilies was given by God. It wasn't by the effort of the lily itself. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, or those that are not following God. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So God here is encouraging us. He knows we're people. He knows our weaknesses. He created us. He knows all things. So we can rely on him to understand that. But he's saying, he's encouraging us here to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to follow his ways and serve his ways, and all these things will be added unto you. He knows we need food. He knows we need clothes. He knows we need warmth. He knows we need so many things. He knows that. And so he's obligated to provide it for us. Number one is to trust him. Number one is to seek him first. And then after that, he will give all things. He will grant it. And that's his promise. It's in the scriptures here. And we can, as the church, we can remind God that. Hey, God, you said this to me. You know, like you said that you were going to provide these things, Lord. You know, like, come on, answer my prayer. And that's why we continually pray as well and we serve him and he will provide for us. Over to Proverbs chapter 3, logical extension. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll actually start, start in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Okay, so remember God's commandments, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace. It's an important thing that's put there is peace shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I like how it says there, thou shalt find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Okay? So we serve God first and we focus on his commandments and following his ways and putting our effort into following him. Yes, we'll have good understanding in the sight of God, but God will bless the other stuff. You know, he'll somehow present us in a good light to other men. And I'm sure we've all seen that in situations. The reputation that goes before us. Well, how did that happen? Oh, that's right. God put in them this respect, like he did to Joseph. And so there's that good understanding in the sight of God and man, and favour there as well. And so that's an aspect of, like, because, you know, if we strive for masteries, you know, for example, in our workplace and trying to present ourselves as this great person in our own strength, you know, trying to get the favour of and good understanding and the respect from the people around you, you know, that'll not be as deep and as proper as if we're just following God's ways and we're just serving him. God will provide that. And that ties in with that Matthew chapter 6. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll add all these things. You don't have to worry about these things. Because if you're worrying about it and you're relying on your own strength, you're not relying on him. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And I know it's tough to trust in God with all your heart. We'll all go through instances where we can't do it. You know, we have this fleshly heart and we have moments where we just can't trust in God with all our heart. But God's saying here, look, if you do that and you don't lean to own understanding, he can bless. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Do not try to find the solution in your own understanding. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So you seek the Lord first. Number one, first in the day. You get on your knees and pray in tongues in the Spirit. You do that, beginning of the day. That's what it means, like the first fruit, the first of your efforts. You know, like you put the Lord first, and he will then honour that. So you know what, your spiritual barns will be filled with plenty. You'll have these riches in heaven, which is where we belong. You know, and your presses will burst out with new wine. You'll have this wealth by putting him first and trusting him, and he'll provide for you. They're great promises to trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And I've been in instances where I found it so hard to trust the Lord, you know, like it's so difficult, but at least we've got the words. You're like, I just want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this. But then you think, oh, wait a minute. No, the Lord says, at least you've got the words to remember. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, you know. In amongst all that mess in your mind, you can, okay, read this. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding, and it can calm you down. Okay, even though you may not grab hold of it completely how the Lord wants you to, but at least it's here. It's here for you to read and remember and to calm you down and think, okay. And then the next day you're in a tiz again. Read the words again. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. It's a process. It's a real process. Psalm chapter 46. And that's why we grow. Okay? The Lord wants us to grow. And we grow slowly. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, despite what you see around you just is utter turmoil. That's what he's referring to here, just things all going bizarre. You know, we do not need to fear. He's our strength and our refuge. Excuse me. Though the waters, you know, that's like the people around thereof, roar and be troubled. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. So despite what we see, despite what we hear, despite what we think, despite what we know and we don't know, the Lord's saying, be still and know that I am God. Take that moment to step back and be still and know that he is our refuge. He is our strength. We can rely on him. We can trust him. Okay? That's why we have testimonies. We encourage through testimonies where people expound how they trusted in God. And that then encourages, oh, yeah, they trusted in God. And God came through abundantly, more than you could think. You know, and yeah, I've had an instance like that recently where you're just stunned. You know, like, whoa. You know, that was beyond what I expected. You know, you reflect back and you think these moments where, yes, you were troubled in the mind and you couldn't quite trust God. Like, what's the Lord up to? Is he backing me up here? You know, like I've had moments like that where, okay, put the Lord first, stuff's happening. Ah, what's going on? You know, he's not backing me up. And yeah, carry on in your right old tantrum. But then read the scriptures, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And you remember, no, it is God, and you calm down. And then what happens is he provides, and it's truly humbling. You know, like I remember being stunned for a couple of days, thinking, wow, I can't believe this. It's just truly remarkable, and it comes just at the right time, okay? So testimonies are so important for that, so encouraging. We've got this experience and so forth, and that's where the patience comes into it, and also the peace and the understanding. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Okay, you can do all things through Christ. You know, seeking him first, which then flows on to strengthen us. And I've mentioned this to before, but I just love, of course, this is written by Paul. And it says, for I have learnt in whatsoever state I am. It wasn't a natural download. When he received the Spirit, it wasn't this natural download to be content in whatsoever state he's in. He learnt it over time. Okay, it's something we have to learn as well. And it takes time. We may never perfect it before the Lord comes back, but it's something we learn is to be content no matter what's going on around us, no matter what state we're in, what position we're in. We learn to be content. Step back, rely on the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And there's a reason Paul knew that he had to learn to be content no matter which state he was in, no matter what was going on around him. And you can read the scriptures of the things that happened in Paul's life and he learnt to be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Riches bring sorrows, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience and meekness. It's what God's asking us to do. Follow his ways, which are righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience and meekness. Put him first. And it starts there. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? We brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. So let us learn to be content. And that's why Paul knew that he had to learn how to be content, because he knew that godliness and contentment is a great gain. That's a wonderful rich to have, a wealth beyond bounds when you have this contentment and the godliness. The godliness, yes, we walk in spirit and truth. We've got this cloak of righteousness. We are God's dear children. We have been granted righteousness graciously. We have Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, justifying us before him, reminding God himself that we are righteous and pure. That godliness is sorted, walking in spirit and truth, and then contentment. If we learn to be content, this is this great gain, this true, truly amazing rich. You know, a barn full of produce, wine presses flowing out with wine, that true gold that is refined, that comes from God. Great gain, great riches is that contentment, no matter what state you're in. So let us learn through this process to be content. Romans chapter 12, and it starts with putting God first. Romans chapter 12, and then you get experience of putting him first, and then that helps you further down the track to encourage others based on your own experience. There's authority when you speak from your own experiences, and then when things come up further down the track, you can reflect on your own experience. It just keeps growing. There's this whole growth thing going on here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So great practical advice there. You know, just following the good things of the Lord and loving our brothers and sisters and doing the work of the Lord, not being slothful, you know, just focusing on him and relying on him. And verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So you apply that, you know, when you're not content, praying. And then that time of tribulation, you learn to be patient, knowing there will be an end. But you rejoice in the hope of this great ending, you know, like rejoicing in the hope, knowing it's fantastic at the end. You know, the end is we're going to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to survive. We're going to overcome. We're going to be there forever, praising his name. So we're patient in tribulation, knowing there's a good end. And during that time, we're instant in prayer. And like today in our lives, we all have things in our life that inhibits us from serving God to how we would like to. Everyone here has a desire to do more, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing to have that desire. But there are things around us or in us that stop us from doing that. And like they can be illnesses, they can just be abilities, they can even be isolation. You know, like you want to do things and be part of things, but you just can't. And so that's where you learn to be content in no matter what state you're in. And only on Friday, I was just talking to someone who was relaying this great testimony of a lady who had this amazing healing. Now, before that, she'd been in the Lord for quite a while, had never had a healing. But you see, they had a prayer and fast to pray for this healing. And this lady, she got to a point where, if I'm healed or not, you know, like, I'm the Lord's. You know, like, there's a type of contentment there. You know, the doctors couldn't do anything, so they pursued that. You know, there's just they did the logical thing. And there's this point where just had to rely on the Lord. But she got to this point of contentment, where she was content. Okay, if I get healed, brilliant. If I don't get healed, I'm still going to serve the Lord. And praise the Lord, after that that prayer and fast, she was healed. And so I firmly believe that when we reach to, like just reflecting on this example, when we reach a point of contentment where we're relying on the Lord, there's that point, okay, it's up to you, Lord. Like whether like I'm just where I am, it's the way it is, so I'm content and I'm just trusting the Lord. It means you stop looking at the strength of your flesh. You know, you stop trying to solve the problem in your own way. You know, we go to doctors and so forth to help us with illnesses and things. But like there's other instances where like you might not have an ability, you know, that frustrates you. Or you may be living in a place that keeps you away from fellow, and we have people here in the Bunbury Revival Fellowship. That's why, that was the sole reason that this TRF radio was first set up, was to reach out to those people that couldn't get to all the meetings. And what a great blessing that is. And so there are people that are isolated and want to be part of more things. But the idea is to be content where you are, because then you're not striving in your own strength, trying to find, okay, how am I going to get closer to Bunbury and live in Bunbury or whatever so I can go to more meetings, but being content and relying on God to sort it out, to open up the way, because then you're not relying on your own strength. You've reached that point, okay, Lord, either way, if I'm staying here, then I'm content. If I go to closer to meetings and more meetings that are around the corner, then I'm, you know, still praise the Lord either way, you know, and then you're trusting in the Lord. And it opens up that pathway because you're relying on him completely instead of shortening his hand. You know, like you're shortening his hand when you're looking at your own strength trying to solve these things. And it's hard. I mean, I've considered myself a very active person who likes to find solutions. That's my job, finding solutions, searching everywhere. Right, let's do this in my own strength. Phone calls, run around everywhere, get hold of contacts that I've got and so forth. It's a natural thing. But when you realise that either way, I'm going to be serving the Lord regardless of where I am, that's when you reach that point of contentment and you're trusting in God and not in the flesh. Philippians chapter 4, the penultimate scripture. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. Wonderful riches can be found through godliness and contentment. It's just something we've got to learn. And also, from what I've learned myself, don't get frustrated. You know, it takes time to learn these things. You know, little bit by little bit, line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, little bit. And then when it grows, like a tree that grows slowly, grows more solid. Instead of like a plant that just shoots up, you know, it's very weak. But do it slowly and then build on previous experiences. Let the Lord train you as well. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful result of Number one, rejoicing in the Lord always, praising him for everything that he's done. You know, being moderate or gentle to all men, you know, being a good testimony, not being anxious and worrying and relying on your own strength to solve things. And then after that, that contentment, that peace, this peace. And again, testimonies are so important, where we hear there's this peace that passes all understanding is granted unto people, you know. They have this understanding that either way, whatever happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. Doesn't matter. It says, whether I live or die, I'm going to serve the Lord. I mean, that's the extremes, of course. Whether I get the healing or not, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, whether I move or not, I'm going to serve the Lord. Either way, I'm going to serve the Lord. And that peace of God that passes all understandings shall keep your hearts and minds. Keep, you know, hold. You know, hold and comfort there. So that peace of God is granted as a result, which is what we all want. We want peace. Last scripture, Colossians chapter 3, just one verse. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let, that's what it says there, let it happen. Don't hold it back. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So there's that thankful thing. Just thank the Lord. Thank him for calling us. He's called us from amongst so many, filled us with the Holy Spirit, with signs following. I think that's truly remarkable as well, that we can just thank him that he's created this sign, something that's tangible to hold on to, that we speak in tongues, that he's tamed that unruly member. He's performed an incredible miracle. This unruly member that can ignite wars and is like the poison of asps. This amazing sign that he's given. We can thank him that we speak in tongues, that we, through the Spirit, can speak his language. You can speak his language. And we are his children. Thank him. We are his children. That we are his ambassadors. That we have answers. That when we read the scriptures, we don't misinterpret what's so plain and obvious that others like to hypothesize on. Because God has made sure that the scriptures are written plainly for us to understand. And we can trust him because he answers. Who was I? Oh, there's someone else I was talking to recently, and I was reflecting on my own walk. Like, I was also spirit-filled before being invited to the Revival Fellowship for 7 years. And there was no growth in that 7 years. But as soon as I came to the Revival Fellowship, I was baptized in the Revival. I received a whole new tongue. And I remember I just grew so much. Just understanding, like, when you've got the truth, and people, you're surrounded by people who trust God as well. Like, you're nurtured, and it just grows so much. And that's the wonderful thing here, when we're mixing with other people that have a like-minded people, walking in spirit and in truth, encouraging everyone to trust in God, because you do get answers. You will grow as well, and you'll have this peace. If you let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, he's called us all into one body, and we can be thankful. Thankful that we've got this environment to grow and flourish in. And it's just great seeing people growing and flourishing. It's just encouraging for us. So how encouraging it is for the Lord as we grow in understanding. Thank you.